Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, when I come around, 3:03, McMonagle here with you on this Friday morning. We have made it to the weekend. Got a couple baseball series coming up. The Mets take on the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Yankees head to Boston for the second series in the last 2 weeks against the Boston Red Sox after they swept the Kansas City Royals, took both series this year, all 6 games against Kansas City. The Mets coming off a 3-game sweep and a 6-game winning streak. And obviously the injury to Senga, which we touched on a little bit. We'll do it a little bit more. And with the Yankees, look, we could talk about the inner workings, and I hope you're all ready for Devin Williams to become the most important player for the New York Yankees for the next month, as last night was a really refreshing sight to just see him come in and dominate. Like, just to see him come in quick, make quick outs of it, get swings and misses on the changeup, throws a fastball in the inside corner for strike 3 to end the game. It was nice to see that. But really, the conversation with the Yankees, and we'll get into it a little bit, are the two guys coming back and how it works. Because we always talk about, you know, these things work themselves out. It's never bad to have too many good players or, too many answers. Well, right now, Giancarlo Stanton's coming back, and this lineup that's already been a juggling act is going to have questions to answer, including, is Ben Rice a legitimate catcher? And you could hear from Boone talking him up defensively that they are going to play Rice at catcher a little bit to try and work him into the lineup from time to time. And then, but that's an obvious one. Stanton will come into the lineup. Stanton will DH, obviously, exclusively, and then you get him ready for the postseason. I don't think there's any doubt. It's just a matter of how many at-bats he gets during it, but we'll talk about that dynamic. And then Marcus Stroman I find interesting, and we'll get to that as well. I think that's the more interesting one because this rotation has kind of settled itself. Will Warren was great again last night. Outside of the Dodgers series, his last 5 or 6 starts, he's pitching to a sub-3 ERA, striking out a lot of people. And obviously Ryan Yarbrough, who we'll see in this Boston series again, has been really good outside of his last start. What do you do with him? And I talked about this last week, and we'll get into it more. Do you try and showcase him? As crazy as that sounds, do you pitch him? And he says he's open to the bullpen now. He's not just the starting pitcher. He's open to the bullpen because he's got no choice. Is there a way to showcase him and see if anybody wants him? And I'll explain why that thinking doesn't sound as crazy as it might on the surface. 888-808-1019. But let's get back to your Nick calls. Ralph in New Haven. What's up, Ralph?
New Haven, Bryce Harper's father. I haven't talked in a while.
Hello, Mr. Harper. How are you? How's his wrist doing?
All right. I couldn't believe when Tibbs got fired. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I follow basketball. I'm a Sacramento fan, but maybe people just back up and say, in the end, it is a talented team, and maybe they're peaking it or gelling at the right time. And look, let's just look. If they win the next two games in Indiana, or if they just win the series.
Yeah,
right?
No, it doesn't even have to be the next two. If they win the series.
Just say they win the next two games, right? Mm-hmm. That means they won 12 games, right, to get there and win the championship. They lost one to Cleveland, who was a hell of a team, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It was a tougher road coming out of the East than it was for OKC coming out of the West. Because they had to beat Minnesota is all they had to really beat. But Denver gave them trouble. And Denver was
It went seven with Denver.
Right. Yeah, it went seven. And they had to beat in the fifth game or sixth game. And just the Joker had nobody to help them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Maybe people should back up and say, this team could, ironically, the only team that beat them twice and was really 15 seconds away from taking them seven games would have been the Knicks, right?
Yeah.
So that's how good I think Indiana is. And they're not. I don't blame Tibbs at all. I think Tibbs rebuilt his team and his organization and at the speed of what they fired him. They just let him go. I mean, they didn't even wait a week. They just said, blink of an eye, and they have nobody. Ironically, I like to see Tibbs go to Denver and coach Denver. I got a feeling the Knicks are going to end up begging Malone to come to the Knicks because the Knicks is a landmine now. Who wants that job? No one wants it.
I don't know about that, Ralph.
No one's going to want that pick.
I don't know, and thank you for the call. I don't know about that. It's still a talented roster. It's still New York City. It's still a team that was just in the Eastern Conference Finals. And you just said, again, I don't expect Oklahoma City to lose the next two games in a row. Excuse me. I don't expect them to get gentlemen swept by the Indiana Pacers, but clearly, the Indiana Pacers are better than we thought. And it's like this dual thing. Like, on one hand, you feel a little bit better about losing to them if they go on to win the NBA Finals, which we all gave them no chance. And listen, even Knicks fans, you have to be honest with yourself. We wouldn't have given the Knicks much of a chance to beat Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City had one of the more dominant regular seasons we have seen in a long time. Defensively, they are exceptional. They have the MVP. This was a dominant basketball team all year long. I still think, you know, I still think they're going to win this series, but the Pacers have given them one hell of a ride. And yeah, on one hand you go, well, look, if they win this series, hey, we lost to the NBA champions. They beat a dominant basketball team. They're on one hell of a run. They've had as good a record as anybody since the beginning of January. They were the hot team. They've been the best team and they deserve to be called NBA champions. On the other hand, you're like, man, if they win game one, they have an opportunity to win that series, and maybe Oklahoma City is not as good as we thought, and they were ripe for the picking. And now we fired our coach based on the idea we lost to the NBA champions. Like, it's just a lot. This NBA Finals weighs too much on the psyche of Knicks fans, and it's frustrating. But again, the firing them quickly, it speaks to what went on with the player meetings. Like, there's no other way to put it. We have to acknowledge, I don't know if it should have made as much of an impact. It clearly did with them. And it clearly did with the owner. I think we're past that. I was late to admitting that. I don't know how I could push back against it anymore. It feels like it was James Dolan who made a decision, and they made it quickly. I don't necessarily mind. If they waited, what's the difference between waiting 2 weeks or firing them right away? They made a decision. They fired them. And they gave themselves an opportunity to have a search. And they are taking every bit of an advantage of having all the time in the world to have a search. Boy, are they ever. They are searching. No rock unturned. No stone unturned for this Knicks team. They're going to look everywhere. They're going to rattle every cage. They're going to turn over every rock. They are going to try and see who knows where they'll find their next head coach from. Let's go to Lee in Brooklyn. What's up, Lee?
Hey, what's up?
Yo, hey, what's up, Lee?
I love the commentary, man. You're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Pacers situation, brother. I think everything went right for them to win this championship this year. SGA, Oklahoma City's playing like we just had to beat Denver in a seven game. Now we got to come out here. Their attitude and mentality is not championship based yet. They might have to basically get smacked around this year and find out that, hey, listen,
maybe they need to fire Dagnall because he can't get over the hump.
Listen, brother.
I think maybe they should fire the head coach ask the rest of the NBA if they have available coaching.
He is going to get fired. I'm telling you. Because basically, everybody felt that OKC should win this series. And the I don't know about no Thibodeau situation, man. I mean, coaches come and go. I ain't got no problem. Whatever they do, the team got to win. Coach is fine. I don't have a problem with who if Thibodeau stayed or somebody else comes. I ain't got no problem with that. But I'm just saying to you, at the end of the day, man, Indiana is playing with a spirit that they saying, listen, we might not get here ever again. And we got to do this right now. OKC's been told they're a dynasty. We're going to be back here again next year. It's the attitude. I want to know what you think, brother.
Thank you for the call, Lee. I think attitude has a lot to do with it. I don't know how much this particular series, but clearly the postseason. And if you were riding the roller coaster that was the New York Knicks, the attitude and the desire and the desperation of the teams on the floor absolutely had so much to do with who won the Knicks games, that's for sure. The team that was more desperate tend to win most of the games the Knicks played. And then you look throughout the NBA, it's felt like that as well. That's kind of been the thought. The other theme has been come from behind victories has been a theme throughout this NBA playoffs. And right now, I don't know if Oklahoma City's playing that way. Game two, they absolutely dominated. Game one, they were up and blew a game. They were up, 15 points in the fourth quarter and blew the game? So it's not, I don't know if it's necessarily just that. It's that the Pacers are deep, the Pacers keep coming at you. And if the Pacers shoot and Halliburton plays with a desperation because it feels like he has games where that kind of comes up and that goes away a little bit, they roll deep, they roll heavy, and they come with a lot of different guys that can come at you. And they've done a really nice job. And we'll see. Again, that series is 2-1. I still think that Oklahoma City has an excellent chance to win the championship, has an excellent chance to win the series, but you can't deny what the Pacers are doing. And I think it's fair to look back at it, and I think it's fair to criticize the idea that he fired, that the coach had to go in part because he couldn't beat a team that clearly is very good. Because we perceive them as an underdog. Because we perceive them, and you know everyone else did, they had home court advantage, they were favorites in the series. Because we perceive that to be the case doesn't mean it's a fact. And I'll tell you this too, like I fully expect if they win game one, it's obviously a different series, and the Knicks would have had a much better chance to win that series. It's not a lock. I feel confident they probably would have been in game seven, but the desperation they came out with in the fourth quarter of game three maybe doesn't exist if that series is tied 1-1. You can't just say they win game one, they win game three, they win game five, and we're playing game seven. It's not as simple as that. Not with the way the Pacers have played. So while I would love to see what would have happened if that series, if they won game one, and I think there's a very, very good chance they are at least playing game seven, there's no guarantee they win that series. That's how well the Pacers have played here. We were probably unfair to them and how they played right now. And that's why I think looking back on it, it's fair to question the idea of, well, he couldn't get past the Indiana Pacers, you got to get fired. If they got worked in the NBA Finals, that would have been a stronger argument. If they got run out of the building in all four games and looked like they didn't belong against Oklahoma City, that would have been a stronger argument. They're up 2-1, and they pulled the same crap they pulled against the Knicks in game one of this series. Like, it's getting harder and harder to make the point that was made with the second caller of the show that, hey, he couldn't get past the Pacers, so he had to go. As Roscoe was talking about earlier, that's a tough argument when they're playing this well. Joel in Wharton, New Jersey. What's up, Joel?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Joel, you there?
Yep.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? So, good. The problem I'm having is that Tibbs took them further than they have been in, you know, since I've been following basketball. And it just seems to me that, like, they're looking for reasons to give these guys a break, even though this guy gave them where they're at. He got them there. You know, I don't think anyone really expected them to beat the Celtics, and they did. And we didn't expect them to move further in the next round, and they did. And I mean, they were moving. They're doing rather well, even where they were at. But last year, when Brunson got hurt, it was a big shock to the system, because I don't even think anyone thought they were going to go that far. So I think taking this guy out, dare I say it, is almost like a Sanchez moment. You know, the guy went back to back. You know, took the Jets further than they'd gone in God knows how long. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, What do you got, you know? And I liked what you said earlier. What happens next year when they go to the Pacers? If they go up against the Pacers, if they lose, does that mean the next guy's out? I mean, they beat the reigning champions this year. That wasn't good enough, you know, for him.
Yeah,
I think throwing the baby out in the bathwater, that's what I think was going on.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Joel. We've made that point a lot, and we're kind of past the basics of the firing, to be totally honest with you. We're more towards, obviously, the new coach, this search, and then the arguments that we're making about it. Like, I do understand it changes that the Pacers are playing this well. I think it does change that argument of he couldn't get past the Pacers. But, like, it's more than just that. We can't diminish. Like, as much as I wouldn't have fired him, we can't diminish what the players had to say. Even Josh Hart, right? Josh Hart comes out with a tweet, and we'll play some sound a little bit later, maybe, of Brunson, because people were talking about Brunson and the idea that he didn't, or Duncan was talking about that he doesn't develop players, and how, like, I could point to a bunch of players, but those players are going to be great anyway. I mean, that's the same thing. Like, the Yankees, same thing. And I know I bring up the Yankees because there's such a correlation, because I'm very familiar with Yankee fans' complaints. The Yankees don't develop anybody. Well, what about Aaron Judge? Well, I mean, he's so good, it doesn't, you know, that doesn't count. He was going to be great anyway. Okay, I mean, that's just how it works. The great players are going to be great anyway, so it doesn't matter. You can't give them credit for that. The bad players are clearly their fault. It's not like there was any bad player who was going to be bad. We seem to do it with football. It's funny because I was talking about this with Flakes. Like, nobody really gets too much. I mean, we'll say it casually that it's a tough organization. They have a history of not developing quarterbacks, but Sam Darnold just sucked. Zach Wilson was just terrible. And he is. I mean, he can't land a job now. I'm not saying that he's not. I'm just saying for some reason in basketball, in baseball, we blame the organization a lot more. We blame the coaches a lot more. In football, we're quicker to just say, this guy sucks. The Jets don't get a ton of... Douglas gets flack for picking him. No doubt. He gets flack for picking him second overall. But he doesn't necessarily get the, you couldn't make this guy work. Like, it's always just he sucks. But in basketball or baseball, it's they don't know how to develop. But to be fair, like Josh Hart, he tweeted this out last night, and he did the podcast, the Step Brothers podcast with Brunson, and he tweeted this out 9 hours ago. All y'all talking trash about Tibbs, lame as hell. A different direction was taken, but y'all should be appreciative for what he did for the team and organization. And to that, I would say, I think even the people who wanted him fired would agree to that assessment, and that's pretty much all they talked about. In the podcast was talking about what he's done and how he did it and how we should praise him. And I would say to Josh Hart, and I think I saw BT say the same thing to him on Twitter, you should have told that to your teammates, because I think a lot of what was said in the exit meetings is why he got fired. And I know that the Knicks apparently have some sort of editorial control over your podcast and you're in a tough spot. But instead of telling all of us about how we should thank him for his time and be happy he's moving on, which is now you're riding the fine line, not only don't criticize Tibbs, but you also have to be okay with him moving on. So, yeah, you're expecting fans and media to ride that fine line. How about you stand up and say, I love the coach and I'm disappointed he's gone? But we haven't gone that far. All we talk about is, hey, he was great for me. He was great for the past. Don't dismiss him. He did a great job with the organization. Well, how about moving forward? It is a sticky situation. I'm not trying to say, like, I'm disappointed in the firing. I hate the idea that lesser players who they were willing to blow up for Kevin Durant earlier in the season are making decisions. Oh, he lost the locker room. He lost this. They didn't. Now you're hearing the reports of they didn't scrimmage as much as players. Like, the idea that James Dolan is sitting in a meeting. Think about this right now. James Dolan, who, again, I don't think has been overly hands-on over the last, 10 years or so, and I think he gets a bad rap in some ways for that. But think of this. James Dolan, and apparently he led these meetings. James Dolan is sitting there in his suit and his fedora, and he's talking to the players. And they tell him, I was surprised we didn't scrimmage a lot. Other places I've been, we really scrimmaged more. And, we didn't specifically work on end-of-game situations as much as I thought. I know the fact that we won all these close games and we came from behind and we fought and clawed and we made incredible defensive stops at the end of games. I just felt like, the end-of-game situation wasn't good enough. And there's James Dolan, who thought they should have beat the Indiana Pacers despite the fact that they might be becoming NBA champions, sitting there going, you know what? We got to fire this coach because Landry Shamet or whomever, maybe it was Jalen Brunson, because Jalen Brunson made the comments about needing to be better at finishing games. But because this roster that I wasn't sure of at the trade deadline tells me, I don't know about end-of-game situations. Oh, we got to fire the coach immediately. When every single fourth quarter and end of game situation, the Knicks were better than the Pistons. The Knicks were better than the defending champion Celtics. And got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, a lot of it just doesn't make sense. And that's what bothers me so much this morning, because we've kind of gone all over this, and the new reports of today are that the scrimmaging and the end of game situation, plus the idea they're looking at Mike Brown and they're looking at Jenkins, the former head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. But the reaction to the search and to the reaction on how it's been handled, the Knicks are for some reason, and I don't know why, are getting the benefit of the doubt from so many fans. And, you know, I was talking about this with Fleeks too. He mentioned this. Typically, when guys come in together, they share the blame. Like Leon Rose, he definitely hired Tibbs. They weren't hired at the same time necessarily, but they started this together. Leon Rose, first order of business was to hire Tibbs. He started this process, the two of them together. It's not like he's been here for forever and this is the third head coach he's hired, like the Cashman Boone situation or other situations we've seen, even Douglas and the Jets. Like, they came in together as a duo and built this up. They got rid of one, and we're all ready to justify that and then justify the actions moving forward when they're hard to understand. And this franchise that has been as inept as any over the last 30 years, like, Leon Rose is getting every benefit of the doubt, and Tibbs is getting every bit of the blame when they're in this together. It's just, it's a weird dichotomy. Tibbs was the reason they couldn't get over the hump. He lost the players. He had to go. But all the players on the team, even though we might criticize the cat move, Leon Rose has done an incredible job and clearly has a plan moving forward. And that plan is what? To ask every other team in the NBA if their coaches are available? Like, but yet, very little criticism. Or from a lot of the fans, should I say. It feels like a lot of the fan base is looking to kill Tibbs and try and justify some of the nonsense we're seeing from the ownership and from Leon Rose. And I don't know why.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Typically a critical of everyone together.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, McBonagle here with you on this Friday the 13th. I just noticed that. I didn't hear that once today, but then again, I was all over the place. Unfortunately, today I had a funeral back home in Long Island. My good friend Bobby, his father, passed away. John, we love you. I'm going to miss you, buddy. He was one of those dads, you know, I lost my dad when I was 19, when I was young. He was like the second dad. He was the basketball coach. He was like a big deal. He coached CYO in St. Vincent's. He had won some titles. He was like a big-time basketball coach. At least that's what we perceived him as. I'm sure he was just the guy helping out with the CYO team. But at the time, he was part of championship banners in the gym. And he was our coach for many, many years. He was just a good guy. He was one of those fathers who was probably a little bit too loose with the dirty jokes and a little bit of silliness. But he was really a great guy, and I'm going to miss him a lot. So I had that this morning all the way out in Long Island. So kind of all over the place, but I haven't heard a reference to Friday the 13th once today. And heard a lot about the Knicks, heard a lot about the baseball. We'll get to all of it. And again, the Mets' ability to weather the storm of losing a starting pitcher rivals or has no rival in all of baseball. And we'll find out tomorrow what we're looking at, I would think, as far as the timeline for Senga. And then the New York Yankees continuing to roll. They sweep the Kansas City Royals and looking forward to another series in Boston against the Boston Red Sox to exact a little revenge over last weekend, with Stanton possibly playing in the series and Marcus Stroman making his way back, and both of those guys coming back. As much as these things typically work themselves out, we're here. We're here with Stanton. There is no clear answer to how to operate this lineup with him coming into it. So the Yankees are going to have to figure out how to juggle at an even better rate. It's a good thing they have such a wonderful manager like Aaron Boone to be able to juggle such things. And we'll see what Marcus Stroman does and whether or not the Yankees force him into the rotation to see if they can get trade value out of him, because that's not as crazy as you think. 888-808-1019. Sean in Syracuse. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
On the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Unless this new coach is a significant improvement, and I mean like a top five proven winner, letting Tibbs go makes no sense. I mean, I've read somewhere where I heard that Spoelstra in Miami might be available. I wanted to get your thoughts on, like, if somehow they could get him. Would that pacify you as far as letting Tibbs
more,
go?
Yeah, more than pacify me. I would be outright excited. Mm-hmm. I still would, and thank you for the call, Sean. I would still be disappointed in the firing, I suppose. I still think Tibbs had earned, with the victory over the Boston Celtics, I thought Tibbs had earned the right to come back for a second year with this group. But if you get Spoelstra, even though I think maybe he's slightly overrated in the way he's spoken of, like he's talked of as if he's the clear cut. Many people do, not everybody, but most people do talk of him as if he is the best coach in the NBA. Miami has done a really good job. There's that Miami culture. That's a thing. That Heat culture is a thing. Butler came there and obviously was playoff Jimmy before that, but really did a lot to further playoff Jimmy in Miami. They got to NBA finals where their team probably wasn't really that good. He did win championships with the big three, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. He's an excellent head coach. I don't know if he's the best in the NBA, even though he's referred to it by many as that. I still think it's a home run hire. He's a championship level coach. He's done a wonderful job. He's worked his way up from the film room in that organization. He has been an excellent, excellent head coach, and that would, without question, excite me, excite the fan base, and you would never hear me complain about this ridiculous search ever again if that's where it ends. I won't quibble about it, I won't argue, I'll still think it was dumb asking that many coaching candidates, or at least that many franchises about their coaches. But if it ends with Spoelstra, if it ends with even Jason Kidd, if it ends with Danny Hurley, if it ends with one of these guys that are perceived home run hire, then I don't think this all goes away and we just move on. But right now, it is what it is. And yet, Fliegelman's point, he gets credit for winning with the big three, and Tibbs isn't getting any credit for building up the Knicks. I mean, which one is harder? Like, which one? And I know that there is a level and you want to get to an NBA championship, and I'm not saying Tibbs didn't have things to improve on and adjustments to make, and he was a stubborn guy, and there was a valid belief that he would never make those adjustments. But if you were looking to define a great head coach, or you were looking to point to a guy and say he is a great head coach, and you had two things to compare. One, taking a franchise that has been the laughingstock of the NBA for 20 years, and within 5 years making four playoff appearances, having back-to-back 50-win seasons, and getting to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years, or winning championships with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. Like, if you were to look at those two things and tell me which one makes you feel like that's a real great head coach, I would think you would point to what Tibbs did with the Knicks and said, that's a great head coach. Not necessarily with the beginning of the trend of the big three, like LeBron in his prime, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, those three players in their prime winning championships and dominating a lesser Eastern Conference. That's less impressive to me than what Tibbs did. But still, having said that, that hire would make me excited. There is no doubt about it. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning,
my
guy.
Yes, sir. What's up, Ray?
C-Mac, I hope you indulge me here on this phone call like you do to Duncan, because actually, we're going to actually dominate people here, you and I together. Unlike Duncan.
A combo domination. Yeah. I like it.
Yes. And I don't know why Duncan keeps referring to it as dominating you, but maybe we'll just blame it on Hurricane Sandy or El Nino or something like you said.
There you go. Ray is a good listener. Ray knows the Mr. Banky story where he blamed my poor behavior in class on El Nino. Yep.
You have me dying. But anyway, let's get back to business here, right? So, look. On the afternoon show, who I call, and I like those guys. Obviously, I don't like them as much as you because you're Yankees family, and Keith McPherson is Yankees family. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, right? They got a thing where they want to, because Evan listens to, Evan, if you're listening, I said I like you. But yeah, so he listens to you, right?
He does,
and he references your show all the time and your points because you guys are, opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to Thibodeau and this kind of thing. Just like, I'm on your side. That's why we're going to dominate them right now. So here's the thing. Evan thought that he pointed out something that is a detraction, a negative in Thibodeau's, against Thibodeau. I think he actually helped our argument because he says, he brings up the fact about closing games, crunch time. What are you talking about, Evan? And I tried to call them, but, my guy Loogie wasn't there today, so I don't know what was going on. But so the Knicks had the best record in the league in closing games in crunch time. We got the best closer, and Thibodeau prepares this team unlike nobody else. Nobody can say Thibodeau's teams are not prepared. Obviously, you're going to, he's not perfect, like you said. You're going to find one or two, sideline plays. But that being said, why did the Knicks have the best record in crunch time? Why did they have the best record in overtime? They were 6-0 in overtime until Jalen Brunson got hurt while bringing us back in that overtime against the Lakers. Or we win that game because he tied in the final 20 seconds before he got hurt and we had all the momentum. So, yeah, that's actually a plus. When you talk about closing games in crunch time, that's a plus on Thibodeau's side. Also,
I would think so.
Also.
I think everything you said is fair. Now, the only thing I'll say is on the podcast today or yesterday now, when asked, and I don't think, again, it was cuts. I didn't listen to the entire podcast, but I heard a lot of the cuts and read a lot of the stuff that was said. when asked about what the team needs to do better next year, I don't think it was under the guise of, like, what does the next coach have to focus on? It was just, what does the team need to be better at? And he said finishing games. Now, I don't know if that's just he's got a bad taste in his mouth about blowing the game one against the Indiana Pacers, and I sure would if I were him.
I believe so.
So I would think that's what's on the forefront of his mind, because I'm sure they believe, and I don't know why they wouldn't, they believe if they win that game, they're in the NBA Finals. I'm sure they have every belief, everyone on that team believes, that if they found a way to win that game, game one, they're going to the NBA Finals. So when asked, what do they need to do better, on the forefront of his mind is, we need to figure out a way to close games because we'd be in the NBA Finals if we didn't blow that one. But I don't disagree with you that those are the numbers. They were excellent in overtime. They were as good as anyone with a one-score game in crunch time. They were one of the better end-of-game play. The whole mantra of the postseason was keep it close, and now we're going to say they didn't do end-of-game stuff well enough? Like, I don't know. I have a tough time.
C-Mac, no. Listen, that's just Jalen Brunson or Hart or whoever it is, the combination of the two. They're just perfectionists, and they get that from who? Their great leader, Tibbs. So even though they know what the record is and the numbers say, they just want to be perfect. And that's why I love Tibbs, because he got that out of his guys, whether OG Anunoby liked him or not. He still played hard for him. Now, the other thing that's on Tibbs' side, when people say he has the inability to adapt and evolve, and yet in the same breath, C-Mac, they say, I think Evan said this, you know, the cutting down on practice. Well, isn't that a feather in Tibbs' cap, that the evolution and the ability to adapt of Tibbs is that he's cutting down on practice? He's being a little bit easier on the players?
No.
Like, what are we talking about here? We're making points. We're making points with Tom Thibodeau.
No, well, listen, again, the only thing I'll say, and you're 100% right, and thank you for the call, Ray. The only thing I'll say... it's not Evan making that up. That was reports that that's what the players said in the exit meetings. So not that you're saying Evan made it up, but just make sure we're clear on that. That wasn't Evan's talking point. He was reacting to the story that came out about that was part of the things Nick players had to say. And it is funny to me. It is contradictory. I don't know about it. I don't know about your adapting element necessarily to this, but you're 100% right. We're killing the coach for the amount of minutes he plays in the games, and then we're killing them for the lack of intensity or the lack of you know, working his players with scrimmaging in practice. So he doesn't work them hard enough in practice, but he works them too hard in the games. Like, maybe he limits the practice so we can work them hard in the games. Like, we're literally trying to find something to justify, and that is the purpose of those reports. That is why that's being fed to, I think it was Ian Begley who put out the story. That's why it's being fed to the media, because those are talking points. Why, listen, not enough working hard at practice, not enough end-of-game situations coming off a series where they lost because they blew a lead in game one. There is no coincidence in that. Those are being reported to justify the Knicks. Knicks people are leaking that story. And I'm not saying they're lying. I'm not saying the players didn't say that. I'm not saying it's a fabricated story. I'm saying it's specifically leaked that information. Who knows the positives they said about Tibbs? Who knows what else was said? But they're specifically leaking out not enough scrimmage time and end-of-game situations, specifically off of the end of... Because of the not enough scrimmage time means the bench didn't get enough work in practice, which is the narrative of him being fired because he doesn't play the bench. And then the end-of-game situations because they lost game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. That report has two targeted points of view in that report. That is the Knicks leaking out the idea that we didn't work the bench well enough, so we didn't know if the bench was good. And they weren't good at end-of-game situations because they blew game one because they didn't work on end-of-game situations. When you could easily make the case, had they won that series or won the NBA championship, man, maybe a part of it was they were able to play all those minutes with their starting five despite the lack of a bench because they didn't work so hard in practice. And if they had won, nobody would be complaining about end-of-game situations. If they didn't blow a game that's almost impossible to blow, you could point to the entire postseason run while being the best team in end-of-game situations. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let's go to Wally in Oceanport. What's up, Wally?
Hi, Sumac. Sorry about your day. I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, I mean, it's not just my day. I'm sorry. My friend John passed away. It was a rough day.
I heard. I've been on hold and
well, thank you very much.
I heard. So I'm sorry for you and your friend, and I hope you have a better weekend. The firing of Thibodeau to me is a travesty, in the sense that in my lifetime, the three best coaches that I know have coached the Knicks are Pat Riley, Van Gundy, and Thibodeau. And you know, he's taken them to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, if I'm correct. And you know, and then we get into the okay. Well, fine. You know, we have nothing to do with this. They're going to fire him. Okay, what is the plan? And now the plan looks horrendous because you're calling on 5, 6, 7 different teams that are saying no, no, no. The only way for me as a Knicks fan is you need a better player. And in my humble opinion, I think you need the Greek Freak. And the Greek Freak, I think, wants out of Milwaukee, okay? I'm sure everything is great over there, but he's not winning. And he's, you know, top 5 player in the league, if not 1 or 2, okay?
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry, you gave me space. I thought you wanted me to talk. Hold on 1 second, let me finish. I'll let you finish, sorry. Well, there's two contrary, I mean, I don't know about contradictory, but yes, there was a report that he is at least open to the idea of moving on from Milwaukee, and then he did do a radio interview overseas and talked about getting back to the NBA Finals with the Milwaukee Bucks. That's apparently what he said. But yeah, no, if that's available, absolutely. You're 100% right. I mean, if you could convince him, and I know that's kind of the pipe dream of Jason Kidd, and I'd like that all works together. Jason Kidd and his relationship with Giannis. You get Jason Kidd out of Dallas, you get Giannis out of Milwaukee, and the Knicks take whatever they have to give up. It doesn't matter other than Jalen Brunson.
Jason Kidd is not the answer. Jason Kidd, I'm sorry, not to interrupt you.
No, I understand but if Giannis is and Jason Kidd is another additional lore to the New York Knicks, then he is the answer.
Well, why wouldn't he want to reunite with Budenheiser? I'm butchering his name. I apologize. But because yeah. That was the one who took him. And because, okay, if you're going to move on from a tremendous coach in my mind, okay, and please don't give me the talk of we're going to get Hurley or we're going to get Jay Wright or Rick Pitino already told BT and Sal that
he hasn't been a candidate, though. I mean, they just asked him because you have Rick Pitino on as the Knicks head coaching job is open. You ask him.
Of course. Yeah. But, you know, you have one Hall of Fame coach who has done well with the Knicks, okay, and has coached professionally, okay, even though it didn't work out very well with the Celtics. But all three of those guys are not the answer. They are not a step up from what we just had. And
but there's no clear cut. Budenholzer, I know he's won a championship, but you can't tell. And thank you for the call. You can't tell me he's a clear cut. Where's the clear cut upgrade? Like, that's part of this. There is no clear cut upgrade. It's just different. You're looking for different. You can't tell me you're going to find a better coach than Tibbs. And I don't even think the Knicks would tell you that. The Knicks wouldn't tell you they're on the look for the better head coach. They're on the look for the better fit. They're on the look for the better fit. And that's what bothers me about all of these. Like, this is a specific firing for a specific reason, and they should be looking for a specific type of head coach. And instead, they're casting a net and casting this wide net where they're looking at all different types of head coaches. You know, and right now it seems mainly, I know we've added Mike Brown and Tyler Jenkins to the mix here, but we're talking about coaches that are under contract. That's who, and all different kinds of coaches and all different kinds of success levels. I mean, if you fire Tibbs for one specific reason, you should be looking for a coach that elevate you in those specific reasons. And it should be more of a targeted plan of the type of coach. Like, I would be less upset if it was like kid, you know, I don't know, someone, and then like a name we never heard of, but he specializes in, like, he's the next offensive great assistant. Okay, I've never heard of him, or he's not a big-time name, he's never coached in the league, but he specifically does this, so we want to talk to him. That makes sense to me. It's not about the level of the names, or it's just that it feels all over the place. It feels like there's no real true direction to it. There's no real plan to it. It's just like, these are the somewhat successful head coaches. These are the guys who've done a decent job with where they are. So let's just go around and see if we can talk to them. Like, this isn't a miserable team that is looking for a new identity and is open to starting that with any type of head coach or any type. You're looking for the man, not the coach. Like, in this specific thing for the Knicks, you're kind of looking for the coach that specifically will improve the specific things you fired this coach specifically for. There's a lot of specifics in there, but you get my point. Let's go to Al in Brooklyn. What's up, Al?
Hello?
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 Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello.
You're too much, man. I want to talk about the Knicks briefly, but I forgot to ask the screener. I want to mention something about your last name. You were talking about it the other night. Do you mind if I say it?
If you say my last name?
No. Remember the other night when everyone was calling in, they were talking about how to spell your name with the two C's, and is it McGonagall or McConagall?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, at any rate, are you familiar with the movie The Great McGonagall with a G? W.C. Fields plays the lead. He plays the Great McGonagall. You got to watch this.
I know Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter. I do not know the Great McGonagall. I've never heard that. No.
Well, you're W.C. Fields. You know him, right?
I've heard the name, yes. W.C. Fields.
Oh, my God. He's considered the greatest comic of all time. Yeah, check it out. And he's called McGonagall in it. I don't know if that's the name of the movie. All right. But at any rate, I mentioned this to the other fella, and I'm sure you heard it 100 times. This thing broke everybody's heart. I was so happy about this, and I had all this joy, and every day I couldn't wait to see it. And now I feel like they did a dirty thing. I don't even want to know about the Knicks. I'm disgusted with them, and I'm all the joy that went out of the city because it just so. And it has to be because of the dope that owns everything. And the other thing is, the players came up short. They played very hard. But the coach didn't. The players didn't win. So it is, right? I mean, yeah. So, geez, nobody...
And thank you for the call, Al. Thank you for the call. There is a mix, clearly. I'm not saying the coach is void of blame. He's got his share, but we don't want to give any of the blame to the players. And right now, we don't want to give any blame to Leon Rose either. Like, right now, he can do no wrong. He's in a search. Hey, he's got a plan? Sure he does. Sure he does. Come on, this is a plan. Asking everybody under the sun if they're interested in talking about the job, that's a plan. I mean, again, I said it yesterday, and if anybody wants to take me up on the challenge, 888-808-1019. So far, the only thing I've heard is the answer to my question of, if this is a plan, what does not having a plan look like? Because if the plan is just because, sure, oh, I'll talk to everybody. That's not a plan. That's a reaction to having no plan. A plan needs to be more precise to me than just, oh, I'll talk to anybody. But if you have the answer, because the only thing I've heard so far is that going to an assistant head coach, promoting from within would be planless, which I think you could easily call that a plan too. What does a non-plan look like if this isn't it? If this is not what it looks like when you don't have a plan, explain to me what a non-plan is. If we're calling this a plan, everything's a plan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.